Lord God, our guide and guardian, it is you who have led us apart from the busy world into the quiet of your house. Grant us grace to worship you now in spirit and in truth, to the comfort of our souls and the upbuilding of every good purpose and holy desire. Help us during this hour to take to heart both the stern message of the law and the sweet promise of the forgiveness that is ours in Christ. In his name we ask it. Amen. Rise. We follow the order of service beginning on page 12 in the fourth part of the supplement. And we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son, and especially on this Pentecost Sunday, in the name of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We stand in the presence of our God, the God who created us to love him and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. Pray. Lord God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. This we ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in communion with this same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading on this Pentecost Sunday is found in the Old Testament book of Genesis, the 11th chapter, beginning there with the first verse. This account sets the stage for one of the aspects of the event that we celebrate this morning, Pentecost. It's again a testament to how man sins, God finds solution to that, or in this case, temporal punishment followed by solution. So the people early on disobeyed God's command to go and fill the earth, subdue, multiply. They decided they were going to live in one city. They built a tower called Babel, and God had to confuse their speech so that they would obey him. We read then the first 9 verses of chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Here ends our first scripture reading. We respond with our Psalm of the Day, Psalm 51, as found printed on supplement page 31. Second reading is found in the book of Acts, the second chapter, the first six verses. So man disobeyed God. God decided he needed to confuse their language. And by the way, linguists are some of the people that today are acknowledging that there had to be some divine essence or some higher power at work in connection with languages, because they're too amazing. They all point back to this one event. So God had to confuse their languages, but then he also had to solve a problem because he wanted that gospel to be dispersed. And how could it be if nobody understood each other? So he gave them a gift at Pentecost that allowed them to speak in these other languages. We read then in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages or tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Here ends our scripture readings. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Turn now, if you would please, to page 5 in the fore part of the supplement. This morning we confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. A holy light, guide divine, cause the word of life to shine. Teach us to know our God aright and call him Father with delight. From every error, keep us free. Let none but Christ our Master be, that we in living faith abide in him our Lord with all our might confide. Amen. Dear fellow Christians, cloudy again. In fact, it seems like the clouds never leave. It seems like they've always been there. Thinking back, it's hard, no, it's possible, impossible rather, to think of a time when it wasn't cloudy, gloomy, overcast. Hard to remember back to a time when we enjoyed unlimited visibility, how we long to have things clear up, how we yearn for our view to be unobstructed to what we know is out there, and to be able to see it clearly, unhindered, unimpeded, to have that unfiltered light pour down upon us. And yet the clouds never seem to part, the fog never seems to lift. And by now, some of you are glancing out the window and thinking to yourself, it finally happened. All the wind has gone out of Pastor's topsail. In fact, Pastor, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we're in a drought still. Yeah, a couple days of rain, but what in the world are you talking about? See, this is the same problem that Jesus encountered. Obviously, no one would compare me to our Savior. But he spoke to them with meaning that they could not get. They heard the words, even some of his own men, his own disciples, his own apostles, the chosen 12, heard the words, but they, thinking they understood them, thinking they grasped all that there was to them, dismiss them or set them aside, at least mentally. This morning, we're not talking about something as fickle and inconsequential, transient as weather. We're talking about something else. We're talking metaphorically about the problem that the people of Jesus' day had, his own men. And listen again to those same words, but this time, don't think of the weather. Think of these men and their spiritual understanding or lack thereof. Cloudy again. It seems like the clouds never leave, that they've always been here. Thinking back, it's hard. It's impossible to think of a time when it wasn't cloudy, overcast, foggy. How I long to have my view unobstructed, to be able to see clearly what's actually out there, what I know must be out there, but I'm unable. How I long to have that unfiltered, unrestricted light shine in me, on me. Yet the clouds never seem to part, and the fog never seems to lift. Now we're ready to hear the events of, the import of, words from our God concerning the event that we celebrate this morning, Pentecost, and God's gift of clarity. We read in John 16, verses 12 through 16. Jesus is speaking pre-Pentecost to his disciples. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. These are the very words of our Savior God. How meaningless, how pointless our lives without these words from our God. And how meaningless, how pointless these words without the gifts that our God gave us on this day, the gifts of Pentecost. That our God, the same one, the same Holy Spirit who gave us these gifts, would also work among us this morning to fill us with the same blessings that he wants us to have through the study of these words, that he would do that also with us. So we pray. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Lots of special occasions this time of year. No one needs to tell you that. Weddings, graduations especially, list goes on. If you're like us, you're always looking for the perfect gift, preferably one that will be inexpensive, but will seem expensive, or will be treasured by the person that receives it. It will stand out, it'll be memorable, and then that elusive keep on giving so that it's not just a one and done and, oh, this is nice and done, but it'll keep giving them something. That's what we're looking for, that gift that keeps on giving. Well, on a much higher, more miraculous level, Pentecost is exactly that. It is that gift, once given, that keeps on giving, keeps on providing. Problem is, not everybody thinks about it like that, if they think about it at all. In fact, many of the problems connected with Pentecost come from inside. Our God warned us about that, didn't he? That there would be attacks. Think of Paul when he met with the leaders in Ephesus. We're going through that in Wednesday night Bible study. He met them and he said, I'm afraid for you. I'm concerned because wolves are going to come into your flock, not only from the outside, but from the inside. So also in connection with Pentecost, even those who pretend to be all about this, who seem to focus on this, get it wrong because they emphasize the wrong thing. Now we heard in our two readings, our two scripture readings, first of all, the Tower of Babel and the confusion of languages, so that they would obey him. They couldn't understand each other, so they couldn't continue their building project. And the idea behind it was if they built a tower high enough, then they could spread out enough, and everybody could stay right there, and they could see the tower, and they could go back and forth, and they wouldn't have to obey the Lord. But then came Jesus in the message of the gospel, and he wanted his disciples, the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all the nations. So he fixed what he had done to solve the problem of man by, again, allowing his disciples, at least for a time, to speak in a different language so that they could hear the message of the gospel immediately. But here's what has gone wrong with all of this. Even some Christian denominations are focusing on not the thing itself, but the outward manifestation of the thing. That means they're focusing on maybe speaking in a different language or in a tongue, as they call it. And we're not sure what they mean, or it's all kind of mysterious. They speak in emotional gibberish, but that to them is the sum and substance of, or at least the majority of, Pentecost. It's sort of like this. How many of you, if you get a present, how many of you keep the wrapping paper and throw away the present? Obviously, no one. Well, I've never met anyone. You'll probably come up to me afterwards and say, oh, I've done that. The gift was really lame, but it was really pretty wrapping paper. When it comes to Pentecost, the wrapping paper is the ability, was the ability to speak in a different language. Paul said, where tongues come, they also go. It's temporary. But what they did is they just, as a wrapping paper tells you, when somebody hands you something that's wrapped in paper, it's like, that's the message, there's a gift inside. The languages just told the people, there's a gift here. And you read at the end, or you heard at the end of our text, that the people around this room where the disciples received this gift, they heard, they came, and they heard that language, and they knew something was going on. So we make a mistake. The Christian church today makes a mistake when we focus on the outward manifestations, the indicators, rather than the thing itself, the gift itself. What was that gift? It's hard sometimes to wrap our minds around what was Pentecost, what is it all about? Because wasn't the Spirit there prior to Pentecost? Of course He was. The Spirit was present at creation, hovering over the face of the waters on the first day of creation. Obviously existed in eternity before that. Isn't it only through the Holy Spirit that anyone can be brought to faith? Of course. So the Holy Spirit brought Moses to faith, Abraham to faith, everyone who was a believer. That had to happen through the Holy Spirit. So what's the deal with Pentecost? Well, think of those disciples and apostles that were with Jesus for 3 whole years. Were they believers? Of course they were. Jesus said so. Were there things that they didn't get? Yeah. In fact, quite a few things. Important things concerning the Christian faith. They just didn't grasp. They couldn't wrap their minds around. If you're wondering, trying to get even a better handle on this, first of all, I want you to understand how the problem that you have is probably because you've always had this gift, or you've always, in your life, you've never known a time when you didn't have possessed this special outpouring, when you weren't a recipient of it. Think of it in these. How many of you got up this morning, opened your eyes, and were shocked and amazed at the gift of sight? Nobody. Because you've always been able to see. But do you understand how amazing that gift of sight is? How many things have to happen in this instantaneous, miraculous way? I mean, if you start talking to a scientist about what sight is and how it works, it is astounding. Have you ever seen a camera, how it focuses an image upside down? That's kind of the way light refracts like this through that lens. Did you know that your eye does that on the back of your retina? And your brain automatically flips the image? You don't tell it to do that, but what's coming in refracts through your lens and is projected upside down, but your brain says, oh, flip that, and you open your eyes and you see in color, and your focus is almost instantaneous, and your brain records those signals, and God put them right here, and that little nerve that goes back, that optic nerve goes back, and it's very short, so it's almost instantaneous, gets to your brain, And your brain is allowed to not only see, but comprehend and react even before the cognizant parts of your brain do. And yet you wake up each morning, you open your eyes, yep. You don't even think about it. Does that make it less miraculous, less spectacular? No. Same thing applies to Pentecost and God's outpouring of the gift of the Holy Spirit. You get things that the world doesn't get. You look at things, and to you it's obvious. You see not two wooden things, one vertical and one horizontal. You see a cross, and you don't just see a cross, you see Christ crucified. You get that. If I say to you something like, Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll rebuild it, you know it's about his resurrection. You not only know that's what he means, you believe that. If I say other things connected with the Christian faith, virgin birth, you get it, you know it. You don't doubt it. We just take it for granted. And then we sort of get interested in new things from time to time, don't we? Speaking languages, let's talk about that. That's interesting. Wrapping paper. Remember, blind men aren't dead, are they? Those that are born blind, they're not dead. They can imagine things, but if they'd been born blind, they're just guesses. That's those who live in spiritual darkness. They're not dead. They can guess at things. They can guess at spiritual things, but they don't get it. Not really. It doesn't make any difference inside of them. Even if they can comprehend what Christians think about that or what Christians understand, think, or feel with these spiritual truths, they just don't. Compare this again to Pentecost, where we've been given not really sight, but insight. Where, think of those. You think it's amazing when that man who was born blind was healed by Jesus? You imagine seeing for the first time colors and shadows and the sun, moon, stars, clouds, the face of his loved ones. But the spiritual awakening, when the clouds parted spiritually, it pales in comparison. Now, those disciples gathered in that upper room, as we mentioned, had a Christian faith, but huge gaping holes in that faith. You remember, they all tried to prevent Jesus from going to Jerusalem. No, we don't want you to die. Well, they believed he was the Messiah, but they didn't really understand what he was all about. And then they argued about, we want to be one on your right and one on your left, or who's going to be greatest when your kingdom comes. They couldn't fathom still, despite Jesus telling them over and over again, they couldn't get kingdom not of this world, kingdom rulership inside. When they heard kingdom, they thought, yep, and we want to be in positions of power when it comes. Jesus kept saying, the kingdom of God is within you. Kings rule, and I want to rule in your heart when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. We're praying, rule in my heart as my king. But for whatever reason, they just couldn't get it. You heard it in our text. Jesus said, there's lots of other things I don't want to tell you, but you won't get it right now if I do. Wait. Because this gift I'm promising is going to come, and it's good for you that I'm leaving. And then again, our human minds are limited. We don't know exactly what this means that Jesus says next, but he says, unless I go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. We don't understand how that works. Our minds, our human minds right now can't grasp that. But it's true, and that's why Jesus was so excited about the gifts that would be given to his church from that point on at Pentecost. Now in your minds, compare before and after images. Before image. People standing at the foot of the cross, weeping. Mary Magdalene, weeping. All the other women, weeping. Distraught. The disciples, we don't know who all was there, but we read, hiding in the upper room for fear of the Jews. And then the after picture, Peter, James, John speaking boldly in the courtyard, being arrested and then released, having been given strict orders not to preach that, where are they found the next day? In the courtyard, teaching about Jesus. And listen to the words that come out of Peter's mouth. It's no longer confusion. It's no longer, hey, we got this great program. You can get in on the ground floor and then you can be high up. It's no longer lamenting the death of Jesus, seeing, understanding the necessity of that death, the goodness, as far as we're concerned, because of, through that death. No longer talking about or being confused about a kingdom within rather than a kingdom without or on this earth. Totally changed men. From this point on, they never retreated. They never hid. They charged to every corner of the world. What was the one difference? Pentecost. That's the only difference. They were the same men. And some of these problems they had were after his resurrection, so it wasn't his death and resurrection that did it. In fact, you remember when he was going to be ascended, they still asked him a silly question. Now are we going to get the kingdom on earth? And Jesus is just, wait for it. Go to Jerusalem, wait for me, because this gift that I promised you, you'll get it then. That's Pentecost. You've been given that gift. You and I both have it. You know that's true because you can see these spiritual things and understand them. Scripture says you would not be able to. You would be confused about so many things like they were. You are not. And you couldn't do that on your own. Those are gifts that have been given to you through the giving of this great gift at Pentecost. Need any more help appreciating this? Once you get this, you couldn't keep it, but the Holy Spirit can preserve it in you. And once you get it, once this gift is also created in you at conversion, given to you, not only are you brought to faith, but you become this never-ending source of the very means by which this Holy Spirit can work in others. That can give them not only spiritual life, but this clarity that they now lack. Our society is not about being more than conquerors, as Paul said. Our society is about being able to verbally beat down the opposition as though that's going to help, as though that's going to bring any clarity, rather than just maybe temporarily leave someone at a loss for words. This is the thing that changes. This is the thing that changes from the inside out. And then suddenly, through what we can offer them, the Holy Spirit works to not only bring them to faith, but to remove the clouds, the fog, the lack of clarity. Then it's as if, and if you've ever had this privilege of being a part of, in the world of someone who has come to faith, it is truly spectacular. This is the event that we commemorate this morning, the giving of this gift to God's church, to you. It's no wonder that Jesus said as he did, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." But then went on to say how excited he was for the giving of this gift. Treasure it. Please rise. And may that same Holy Spirit that was poured out into his church in full measure at Pentecost provide each of us with the wisdom and sobriety to treasure this day as we ought. What we are given on this day is in every respect truly amazing, absolutely vital. And may this peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, divine counselor, who on Pentecost established the Christian church through the preaching and hearing of the word of truth, continue to bless this word, both upon the lips of Christ's witnesses and upon the hearts of all who hear. It is our prayer that countless souls may come to trust in Jesus as their Savior. Divine Helper, we praise you as the giver of all truth, the exalter of Jesus Christ, for you have given our Lord's saving word to us sinners. You have exalted him in our hearts by calling us to faith. Thanks to you, we are now reborn, children of God, joint heirs of heavenly glory with our Savior. Because of you, we understand and believe your word. Comfort us through our faith, and having begun your work in us, continue it to our end. Dwell in us as teacher and protector of God's truth. Make us grow up in our faith, in our knowledge of salvation and of your word. Give us a continuing, growing love for that word. Keep us from falling prey to false teaching, and of course, unbelief. Having brought us to faith and called us to righteousness, you have commissioned our bodies to be your temples, your dwelling places, and your witnesses. Help us to consider this, to consider how inappropriate to make your house, your temple, filthy through sin, or hostile to your presence through unbelief. Sanctify, therefore, every one of our thoughts, words, and actions. Let all that we are, all that we do, be dedicated to your praise and glory. Remind us always then that we are God's beloved children by faith in Christ, so that we need never hesitate to bring all of our wants, our troubles, our worries, our desires, our hurts, our illnesses, to you, our one true triune God, for help and healing. We ask you to visit us with that special measure of comfort and assurance this morning in Holy Communion. We believe your words. We trust your simple promise that we, when we receive the bread and the wine, also receive your true body and blood. Comfort us. Draw our minds back to Calvary and to the empty tomb, and to trust anew, ever stronger, that our sin debt has already been paid in full. We are forgiven. In Jesus' name, we ask all of these things and pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Tries. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.